I'm Terry Taylor, and this is the Interior Design Business Academy podcast. As an interior designer, you may be thinking, I love what I do, but I am so overworked and underpaid. Let me tell you, I've been there too. I spent many years learning from my own mistakes and developing proven strategies and systems to make interior design a profitable career while keeping it fun and creative. So now, I'm here to help you get paid what you're worth. If you're ready for some straight talk about how design business really works, and you're ready to break through old belief systems that are holding you back and shift into beliefs that support your goals and bring lasting success, you are in the right place. How many times have you thought when you are really, really crazy busy, tons of jobs, staying up late at night trying to get stuff done, really burning the candle at both ends, and you say, oh my gosh, I wish I had another me, right? A mini me, somebody else who could do what I do so we could get this stuff done. Now, that sounds like an answer, right? Hire somebody now. Help me out of this mess. You know, I need somebody. And you know, I've been there, you've been there, you know what this is, right? However, that is not a good point to be hiring from because you're in desperation. It's likely that you'll do a knee-jerk hire and put a Band-Aid on it, which, you know, doesn't last very long. All right, so let me paint a picture of what this looks like. Well, let's pick this apart a little bit and figure this out. Because, you know, if you're looking for somebody like you, like me, that can talk to clients and contractors, sell design, do CAD and rendering, be able to do the research and specifications, build spec books, do that sort of thing, do some bookkeeping, be able to send out some invoices, write purchase orders, that sort of thing, track purchase orders, right? Put together those POs and proposals and make sure that they come in and fix the freight problems and the damage problems and set up the installations and get the guys going the right direction and get all the cats herded in the right direction. You know, keep clients happy, manage installations, post on social media, all this stuff that you do to run your business. And it sounds crazy. It is because you're doing it all yourself. But the idea is that if you had somebody like you who could do all those things too, then you could take twice as many clients and then you'd have twice the income and it would be great and everything would be wonderful and you'd be growing your business. Well, back up a little bit and let's take really a look at this. Okay. One of the problems here about hiring is that you tend to say, I can't really afford to hire an experienced lead designer. All right, that's a really expensive thing to do. And that's really not, I'll tell you, that's really not anybody's first hire. That's a big responsibility. It's a big chunk of money. That person needs to be paid well because they know what they're doing. So the other side of that is, well, you know, maybe I'll get a young one out of school and I'll just train her. Or, you know, I met this woman, you know, I really hit it off with her and she's got a really good eye. I think she could help me. Those are the examples of those knee-jerk hires, right? That look like they could be the answer. And when you're desperate, you're looking for anything. I understand that, right? I got it. I know that's really what's happening there. But the reality is that you're training somebody to be a mini-me is not a very good idea. Okay? Well, you know, what is this going to look like? Well, start here. You know, it's a knee-jerk hire, first of all, in not taking enough time to really look at what it is you want, be really clear about the person and the experience they should have and the skills they should have and the culture fit they should have. Who is this person and what they're going to be doing? That takes a little bit of back-end research and work to do. And when you're in a position where you're up to your ears and just looking for a Band-Aid, it's not likely to happen, right? You're going to grab the first person there. All right. Now, don't beat yourself up if you've done this, because I've done it. We all have done it. We learn from this going, oh, that was not a bad idea. Because, you know, in 6 weeks, you realize this person is never going to work out. You spent a lot of time on them. And 6 weeks later, you have to let them go. And then you're going to start the process all over again. And you know what? You don't have time for it, right? This is not the time to be doing that. You know, you really want to be thinking about how you're going to build out your business and developing the team you need before you get in this total crunch and not being able to do anything because you can't move because you've got so much business. You know, it's a good problem, right? You're not going to whine because you have this good problem. But at the same time, you can't stay up till midnight or 2 a.m. in the morning, night after night, trying to get this stuff done and maintain your health or your family or your relationship. I mean, it's going to take you down. So we need to be a little more thoughtful about this idea of how this business is going to build and figure out what we really need. Now, the typical thing is trying to find that mini me. You're really looking for a jack of all trades or a Swiss Army knife, as we like to call it. You know, someone who can do all these different things. There's not a lot of people who can do all those different things. And quite frankly, a young designer out of school wants to design. Right? They're not going to be particularly good at writing purchase orders, being accurate on that sort of thing, or fixing freight problems because you don't know how it works, or setting up installations, or being at installations, or all of these things have to be learned. Okay. And when you hire this jack of all trade person who doesn't really know anything and has to learn, all that teaching time is yours. Okay. You didn't actually hire someone to help you, you just added to your workload. Okay. And I know we don't realize that when we're doing it, but it's the truth. Okay. The hires you need to make need to be able to step into your business without more than a day or two of training and take off and actually improve it and make things better. Okay. That is the goal. Not spending hours and hours training somebody. And one of the problems about training someone, especially out of design school, is they want to design. Okay. And they want to do the creative stuff. You might think about this a little bit because you tend to give that to them. All right. Now you start this nurturing thing where you're taking care of them and developing them. Well, you're giving away the parts that you really enjoy doing. And now you're stuck with all that admin stuff that you were trying to get rid of. And that young designer isn't going to be good at that admin stuff because it's not the way their brain works. And they don't have the maturity usually to go with it as well. So it's not going to get you where you want. Or, you know, somebody with a good eye, well, that's nice, but you have the eye. You don't need that part. That's the part that we enjoy. So you got to be careful about this idea of training someone to be what you want is actually going to cost you more than spending more and hire somebody that could actually do it. Okay. That's an important piece in there. You know, the jack of all trades piece is also interesting because, well, you do it. You probably do it pretty well. I suspect you do it well, mostly. Okay. But there's things in all the things you do to run your business, some things that you do really, really well. All right. And some things you do just kind of get by. Right. It's because you can't be good at everything. Okay. And to hire another person who's not good at everything just kind of creates mediocrity, right? And mediocrity is not where you want your business to go. We want it to go to excellence, okay? And you get to excellence by attracting and hiring people who do their jobs really, really, really well, just like your subcontract vendors that do your upholstery or your drapery or set the tile or hang the wallpaper. I mean, you've got the very best people you can find, right? I mean, that's part of your brand. So internally within your office and how you're running that needs to be approached in the same way. Okay. That's an important little piece in there. So let's say you actually do find this Swiss Army knife. Okay. The mini me. I found a mini me and she's not so expensive. I can afford her. I'll get her in here. Okay. I got to train her. I got to do some stuff with her. I got to teach her how to do some of this stuff, but you know, she's pretty good. She's working pretty well. And, you know, it takes a good year, a good employee who's going to do design work and that sort of thing. From my experience in my studio, I had quite a few employees and in admin and designers and all of that sort of stuff. It takes about a year to get them lined up, to get them into your system, if you have any system, and how you do things, how things work, that sort of thing. So, you know, in this year, you get this thing going. They're doing pretty well. You know, my experience was when you got to that point, they got into the mindset of, well, you know, why am I here? Okay. I know the vendors. I know clients. I know how the paperwork works. I know how to do this job. I really, you know, why am I here? Why don't I go out on my own? Okay. Happened to me many, many times after I had trained, built them up, got them in this position where they worked really well. And you know what? off we go into our own business. Okay. And the challenging part is that they often take a few clients with them, right? Typically, right? The ones that they're favorites, that sort of thing. They set it up ahead of time. So they make this move. So they take a chunk of business with them to get themselves started. But, you know, beyond the pain of losing a couple clients in that chunk of business is that you lost half of the framework of your business. You're right back to where you started. I mean, she just totally wiped you out because you only had one person that you were depending on. Okay. That's not a good position to be in. You want to have, it's kind of like only having one GC that you could call at a job, or one tile setter, or one drapery workroom, right? You always need backups, right? You can't put yourself in that position, or, you know, Murphy's Law of Design says that at some point everything will fall apart and you're going to get stuck in the corner again and have to rebuild it. And it's like, oh, no, you know, that's not where you want to be. It's just too big of an ouch, right? Just really beats you up. Okay. Because now you're missing all those things that she did that you counted on, that she took care of, are gone, completely gone. And nobody knows how to do it but you. Okay. And maybe even you don't know quite how to do it anymore. And so it leaves you in a really bad position. Okay. So you can see how having a mini me isn't really a benefit. It's not the structure that you want to build a business. Now, some people get away with it for a year or two and actually end up with two or three mini me's. And the result of that is pure chaos. It will actually take your business down because you've got too many people doing two different things, and no one person is responsible for one particular aspect of the business. You just have all these fingers in it all the time, and it'll crash. Okay. It's just a basic business premise. I'll tell you, not the way to be. So you want to think about this is like, well, Terry, what is the way to do this? Well, you know, building out your business is a big piece of what we do here at IDBA. It's actually structure program is where we work on that, because this is the piece that will keep you in longevity. It'll give you the piece that where you can take a vacation for 3 weeks and not check in. It'll get you in a position where your cash flow starts getting consistent because you actually have a business. You've stopped being a designer with jobs. Okay, which is what many of us do, and you know, is we just have jobs, we work on jobs. There is no business, right? It's just a designer with jobs. A business has a framework, okay, and it has people who do different things in it, who do their jobs really, really well. Okay, so to start with, to change your thinking about how you do this, you want to start thinking about what it is in your business that you really love doing and what you really don't. Okay. Now, on the love side, for me, it's relationships. It's working with people. It's developing those client relationships. It's coming up with those concepts that everybody's really excited about. And I'm excited about, like, okay, this is going to be really cool. Right. That sort of stuff I love. I love presenting the jobs. I love collecting the checks. I really like that, all that front end stuff that's highly emotional and highly creative, and that's my favorite stuff. Personally, I never want to write another purchase order again in my life, okay? I've had enough. I just enough. So over on that side of stuff that you don't want to do, and you know, this is up to you, but I'm just telling you what mine is. It's like bookkeeping and tracking POs and fixing freight problems and damages and that sort of stuff. I mean, it's anything that doesn't pay $150, $200 an hour, okay? Because that's where your time/money is in that area. And everything else really needs to get done by somebody else. And it's not a sharing of clients and everything all the way through. It's you at the top running these things that you do really, really well, and then hiring people for each of these chunks. For and they do it really well because that's naturally what they're good at. And I got to tell you that people who track POs and fix freight problems and that sort of thing are not designers. Their brain, it's a different kind of brain, okay? They really like doing that stuff. And the fact that they really like doing it makes them really good at it and makes your business raises the level of it, okay? And then there's a whole nother group of design functions for designers who are trained or perhaps, you know, or perhaps got there through experience, But it's the rendering and construction docs and research and social media and all of those other pieces that need to be done. They don't pay $150, $200 an hour. They pay $50 an hour or $40 an hour or something like that. Those things need to be done by people who are really good at those things. Okay. Now, one of the cool things about this is when you set up this way and recognize what the different parts of your business are and put people in charge of those different parts, is that you're hiring people who are better than you are at that particular task. Okay? Because nobody's going to be better than you are at designing or connecting to clients in the way you do. I mean, that's your magic. That's your magic and your, you know, very, very valuable time. But other people have skills in other areas. And the idea is that you recognize that and use that so that, that you do hire people to support you who are better at doing these things than you are. And this elevates your business enormously. Okay. And that's what I want for every one of you. Okay. And I want for our industry is this polish, this ability to run these jobs in a business-like way that where we're respected and well paid and celebrated and all of those things. All right. So when you have built out a team, which is what I'm talking about, where you have small jobs, essentially, somebody who's doing 20 hours a month on this and 30 hours a month on that, everybody's really good. And what happens is it doesn't cost any more than that jack of all trades. Okay. Except that your level of quality went way up because you thought about this before you jumped into it. Okay. So that is a really big, big piece. Now, when you have a team like that of people who are really good in each of their groups, each of the things that they're doing, you run this with a staff meeting once a week for an hour and everybody reports in on what they're doing and asks their questions and gets things solved and that sort of thing. And what it's done is taken your time way, way down. I mean, you get the benefit of this. I mean, you get this efficient team that talks to each other and gets projects done and tells you how they did it and the results of it. And it's absolutely fabulous. Okay. So it's very, very, very cool. You know, the other cool thing about this is that if you lose somebody, and it'll happen, or nobody stays with you forever, you know, and if people are there for 2 or 3 years, that's probably a pretty good run. Sometimes longer. I've got a lot of people who've been with me a long, long time. And probably because we have a really solid structure and relationship with them and everything kind of works that way. And it's something to aim for, most certainly. But the reality is if you lose one person in one area, it's not going to take you down. You're not back to zero. You've just got a hole in one place. Okay. We cross-train our team a bit so that if somebody falls out, they can fill in for a few weeks until we get that new person back in there again and get that piece up and running. So we never just fall down and crash. We just might, limp for a couple of weeks, but we're back up and running much, much faster, much smoother, much less angst, and much less damage to our business and our clients. Okay. So that's a really great advantage. And when you hire these people who are better than you are at each of these chunks of your business that needs to be done, the reality is it's not costing you more than that full-time person. Okay. It's just that your quality level went way, way up. Okay. And that's what I want for you. I want that for all of the designers who are part of our coaching program. And I want it for you as well, because that's the way it needs to be. That's the way I want us to represent our industry to our clients, is that we're capable of running really tight, really excellent businesses that provide fabulous interiors for people and amazing experiences and change their lives as well. So until I meet you next time, design something beautiful and get paid what you're worth. I hope you enjoyed today's episode of Interior Design Business Podcast. If you love what you're hearing each week, let me know by leaving a rating and a review. And don't forget to follow the show so you don't miss out on clear, proven, repeatable, step-by-step recipes for attracting ideal luxury clients I share in each episode. As always, you can head over to interiordesignbusinessacademy.com to check out the links and resources from this episode. Till next week, design something beautiful and get paid what you're worth.